You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Greg Laskowski, a senior petroleum analyst for GasBuddy.com. Greg, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Dave.
Greg, you know, lately I have been watching the gas prices, the prices at the pump in my neck of the woods here in central New Jersey. And I also at the same time watch oil prices. The price of crude oil has been dropping or stagnating. And recently, in the past couple of weeks, the price of the pump has been dramatically increasing. I want to get into that in great detail in a moment. But before we do, for the benefit of the listeners, can you give them a little bit of background about who you are and what exactly is GasBuddy.com?
Sure, Dave. I'd be glad to. I'm a former news reporter. I worked in New York for the Gannett newspapers in Westchester County for a number of years. And from there, I got into public relations, corporate communications. I moved to Florida. I went to work for AAA Auto Club and was discussing fuel prices on a daily basis. And just a few years ago, I joined GasBuddy, which is a network of websites that gives consumers all across the country access to the lowest priced gasoline in their neighborhoods, in their market. And this is anywhere in the United States or Canada. So we are following fuel prices 24/7.
I know about GasBuddy, but I didn't know how many of the listeners knew about it. I love it. You know, when I'm traveling across the country, one of the websites I visit to find the least expensive gas, I'm very happy with it. Of course, it's a free service. I guess you do have some advertising on the site. I want to say thank you for what you put out there.
Thank you. I'm glad that your audience is becoming aware of it. You are correct. People can download the GasBuddy app for free at GasBuddy.com. In the last couple of years, we've had about 25 million people download it, so it's gaining popularity quickly, and we always see more people downloading it when prices are on the upward trend. So we know it saves people a lot of money because in almost any metro area in the country, you could see gaps of 60 to 70 cents a gallon between the lowest and the highest price gasoline just in that one market. And there have been occasions when we've seen prices have a gap of more than $1 or $1.10 a gallon. We saw that in Miami just a few months ago, where the gap in that one market was $1.10 between the lowest price station and the highest priced.
And, you know, that's something that always amazes me. As I pass by the ones that are higher priced, I wonder, why are those people getting gas there? Well, obviously because they haven't gone to GasBuddy.com, or they don't care.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah. You know, I think in a lot of places, and you see this in places where the tourism could be very heavy, where you have a captive audience, or it could just be a place where you have a concentration of affluent people who simply don't care what they pay at the pump. In those areas, retailers are going to charge whatever they think the market will bear.
Amazing. For some reason, I thought that's something to do with supply and demand. Let's get into the nitty-gritty here, the nuts and bolts here. If you could give the listeners kind of like a brief description of how it all works. Start from like the ground, what's down there under the ground, and get to where it comes out of that little nozzle there at the gas station.
Well, you're hitting the nail on the head. It all starts with the raw material. So somebody has to go and extract that fuel from the ground. That's what the oil companies are doing. They're getting the oil in places most of us probably would never venture into. And it's a huge risk in a lot of areas. You know, you have to drill an awful lot of holes before you find the one that has the oil. And with the technology we have now, that risk is becoming much lesser than it was maybe 20, 40, or 60 years ago. Now they're able to really identify what the resource is below ground, and they can also get a pretty good idea of exactly how extensive those resources are. So we're finding out now that there's more crude oil all around the world. There's crude oil being discovered in Mexico, in the Gulf of Mexico, in West Texas, crude oil up in the Dakotas, in Alaska, even in Australia. They're discovering tremendous reserves of crude oil that people never even knew existed. And of course, you still have a great deal in the Middle East. There's a great deal in Russia and in Canada, but the fact is, this is a resource which is extremely abundant, and anybody who was growing up in the 60s probably remembers teachers talking about the fact that oil was going to run out. They told us it was a finite resource and we all better get used to riding bicycles. I remember hearing these types of warnings years ago, and today we have a resource that is not diminishing. Oil is the only resource where the more we use it, the more we have of it.
It's amazing. After they get it out of the ground, however they do that, where's the next stop in the pipeline, shall we say?
Well, you've got a lot of logistics. You've got to get that crude oil to the refineries. The refineries turn that crude into many different types of petroleum products. It's not just gasoline that they're producing in refineries. They're producing all kinds of things. Once that gasoline is produced, then it has to be shipped. It might be put on a pipeline. It might be put into a railroad car. It might be put into a tanker or on a barge. But it's got to be shipped from where it was refined out into the markets where it can be put into terminals for distribution locally. once it's at the terminal, a fuel wholesaler somewhere in your neighborhood or in your vicinity is going to get to that terminal and load up and then bring that fuel to the local convenience store or gas station that makes it available to you. So that's basically the chain of events that has to occur before you can pump that gas into your car. Now, there's a lot of things that impact the retail price of that gas. And I know that this is something that really frustrates a lot of people when they hear this. But the biggest thing really is the actual price of that crude oil. And that alone is something that can be a lot more complex than people realize, because there are many different types of crude oil now. And in the United States, we're in the midst of a domestic energy boom. We have a tremendous amount of new crude, less expensive crude than, say, the West Texas Intermediate, and it's becoming available and distributed into parts of the country that never before were able to use it. So that's one of the things that could actually bring the price of gas down a couple of years from now, the fact that we are getting access to lower cost crude. Even much of the Canadian crude sells at a significant discount to West Texas Intermediate. The West Texas Intermediate, by the way, is the benchmark crude that most of the American media refer to. So when you hear the 6 o'clock news and they say that NYMEX crude closed at $93 a barrel today, they're referring to the West Texas Intermediate. One of the things, I think it's a myth. A lot of people hear the price of crude, and if they hear that crude went down, they don't understand why their gas price didn't go down right away. In general, the price of retail gasoline probably does follow the general direction of crude oil, but there is no direct correlation between the price of gas at any point in time when you buy it and the actual price of crude oil at the same time. There's no direct correlation. I know a lot of people think there should be, but there simply isn't, because there are too many other variables that get thrown into the equation, and those things can really have a much more immediate impact on the price that you pay.
What are some of the major variables that might get in the way of that correlation?
Well, one of the obvious variables is going to be the cost of the product. If the refinery has to buy Brent crude oil, which has to come into the Northeast from across the Atlantic, they're going to pay a premium for that crude oil rather than if they're using West Texas Intermediate or an even less expensive crude like the Bakken crude oil coming out of the Dakotas. Now, just last year, Shell sold a refinery that it operated in Philadelphia simply because it felt it could no longer operate. It didn't have a level playing field. It was operating at a disadvantage because the infrastructure at the time wasn't able to get the less expensive crude. It was relying almost exclusively on the Brent crude, the higher cost crude. So Shell sold the refinery. But now there's more infrastructure being developed to get that lower cost crude to new markets. So hopefully that's going to bring the price of gas down in the next couple of years. Another factor that would impact the price would be taxes. Everybody pays federal and state taxes on gas, but the combination of the federal and state can vary significantly. Now, the federal tax is 18.4 cents a gallon, and if you're in New Jersey, you're looking at a combined federal and state tax that's just 32 cents a gallon. But you go across the bridge into New York, and you're paying close to 69 cents a gallon. So that's why all the New Yorkers, when they get a chance, are going to come across the bridge to get their gas in Jersey.
Of course, it's free to get to Jersey, so, right? It costs money. Hey, don't worry about it. Jersey's great. Come on over. It's free.
There's also federal regulations. You know, the federal government, and specifically it's the EPA, they mandate something called summer blend gas that has to be sold from May through September. And that gas is more expensive to produce because it has additional additives, and those additives are put in the gas to let the gas burn cleaner during the summer months. The whole objective here is simply to have a fuel that burns cleaner and reduces the smog and pollution in all of the major metro areas across the country. So in order for that to happen, there's a process that begins, and usually it starts in the first quarter of the new year. The refineries have to reduce their inventory of winter blend gas, and then before they start their production of summer blend, because it's a totally different product, they usually schedule their annual maintenance sometime around January, February, or March, because they want to make sure everything is running properly before they start the summer blend production. That whole process, it does create a bit of a tighter supply nationwide, because if you think about it, all of the refineries in the country are basically involved in the same process at approximately the same time, over, say, 7 or 8 weeks from start to finish. So if you have 134 refineries and they all kind of reduce their gasoline production by a certain percentage so that they can accommodate this transition, that creates tighter supplies, and that's the reason why every year, starting in the first quarter of the new year, you're going to see gas prices go up like clockwork, whether you're on the East Coast or the West Coast or any other place in between. We always see fuel prices go up, and that's the reason.
And how about what some folks have referred to as the speculative premium?
That's an interesting point. You know, sometimes we see a great deal of speculation on crude oil prices, and we saw it back in 2008. That's a year that a lot of really horrendous things happened. But in 2008, in July of that year, we saw the national average hit its all-time record high at $4.12 a gallon. That wasn't because people were driving more. We were driving less than we did in the previous year, but we were paying $4.12 a gallon because of a tremendous amount of speculative dollars being pumped into the commodities, and crude oil, unfortunately, is the largest commodity market that exists. So the reason why people were pumping money into the commodities was to protect against the weakness of the U.S. dollar. When you hear the dollar is moving lower, that's usually an indication that you might see money getting pumped into commodities. And as a result, we saw crude oil hit its all-time record high the same day that retail gasoline prices hit their record. Crude was trading at $147 a barrel on that day, July 15th of 2008, and it plummeted to around $38 a barrel at the end of the year. Believe it or not, on December 31st of 2008, the national average price of gasoline dropped to $1.61 a gallon.
I long for those days. Geez, it really wasn't
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago, but when people say, what will it take to get gas prices to go way down like they were then, I always try to tell them, be careful what you wish for. You don't want that to happen.
How come?
Well, I think if we were to see prices go below $2 a gallon today, I think it would be indicative of an absolutely disastrous economy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember, and it wasn't too long ago, relatively, maybe back in like 2005, 2006, 2007, I can't remember the exact year, you know how it is, things are just flying by nowadays. But down in Atlantic City, I remember getting gas at a Sunoco for 89 cents a gallon, that was the low it hit. And you would know when that was. I was like, yeah, great, excellent, you know, it cost me 10 bucks to fill up my car, it was terrific. But there's no way you're saying, Greg, that we could have that again without that really meaning that something's happening here.
I don't see how that could occur. You're absolutely right. I don't see how we could get fuel prices that low without having a really horrendous impact in other parts of the economy.
Now, as far as the refinery goes, I've read a lot about this. Do you suspect that there could be some chicanery here, some financial chicanery, some strategizing by these refining companies, pulling these refineries offline in order to affect the price at the pump?
I don't think that's the case, because in almost all the instances that we talk about, we know specifically what the problem is and how it was addressed. Are these types of things preventable? That's a tough call, because maybe they are, but if they are, I have a feeling that would mean a great deal more investment in the infrastructure that would eventually somehow have to be passed on to the end user of the product. It's a tough thing, because when you talk about a refinery, we have a huge number that are so vastly different one from the next. And just the infrastructure themselves, it's absolutely mind-boggling to see how these things operate. And when you think about the fact that this infrastructure is aging, some of the refineries are over 100 years old. You know, I think people would be surprised that we didn't have problems more often than we do.
Mm-hmm. What do you think it is, Greg, that's happening here, for example, in my part of the United States? Why do you think it is that here oil has been stagnating or going down? But why do you think it is that all of a sudden, 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, when a lot of Americans drive, why do you think it is that all of a sudden the gas prices were just shooting higher and higher and higher?
Well, I think there were two things that contributed to that. One was the refinery issues that we had mentioned a few weeks back. Now, I'm referring specifically to four refineries that are all found in the Gulf Coast. And these aren't small refineries. One of them is the largest in the country that does 600,000 barrels a day. And when you take that offline, it has an impact. But there were four refineries that were of a significant size, and they all had these types of problems. But the other issue that really wasn't discussed very much by the media was the fact that there's been a tremendous increase in exports. And people don't realize how that can impact the price at the pump. But believe it or not, when the export demand goes up significantly, it creates a significant problem in the U.S. because any gasoline or any cargo that is shipped from one port city to another U.S. port city has to be done using a U.S. flagged vessel. That was a federal law that was enacted in the 1920s, and it was called the Jones Act. And that act can work against us these days when you see a tremendous demand for exports because because when vessels are sending that fuel to Central America or South America or even West Africa, believe it or not, it's actually cheaper for those ships to deliver that fuel those distances than it is to go from Houston to Tampa. And it's because of the excessive regulation and the shortage of U.S. flagged vessels.
Wow.
So that's one of the things that was impacting prices. It hurt Florida significantly because Florida relies almost exclusively on all of its fuel coming into ports along the coastline. We don't have pipelines the way Georgia and Alabama, even up in New Jersey and the Northeast. Some of your fuel arrives via pipeline, some comes in on barges, by rail. You have a lot more variety, a lot more protection against volatility than states like Florida where, you know, it's got to arrive by ship or else it doesn't get here.
And I should have asked this before, who are we exporting to?
Oh, we're exporting to South America, to Central America, even to Europe. And you got to realize, too, we are in the midst of an energy boom in North America. In the United States, even without looking at what we produce domestically, we're getting more fuel from Mexico. We're getting a ton of cheap Canadian crude oil coming in. And at the same time, we're also producing our own domestic crude. There's a tremendous reserve in the Bakken region in South Dakota. We're seeing new crude oil coming out of West Texas, out of an area called the Permian Basin. It's absolutely booming. And I think that these trends are going to be the thing that makes the U.S. the largest oil producer in the world. But it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to happen in the next maybe 5 or 6 years. And we're also starting to see that this new production, the new domestic production occurring in the United States, is starting to have an impact on some of the OPEC pricing. We're starting to see, for instance, that global prices are starting to come down. And I think that has a lot to do with what we're seeing in North America.
Now, you mentioned before, Greg, that the mainstream media didn't pick up on one of the main reasons as to why the gas prices are going up, which were the exports. Why do you think it is that the mainstream media was derelict in hearing? And you were part of the mainstream media.
I don't think I would have had the insight into it at the time that I was a reporter. I just didn't know enough about fuel markets and what is really going on there. But I think it's just easy for the media to kind of shift their attention to, you know, wherever it's drawn. There's an immediacy that they have to respond to, and they have to deliver that story of whatever is the most pressing issue of the day. So that attention shifts pretty quickly, as you know.
Yeah, of course. And of course, Kim Kardashian is always available for, sadly. But this is fascinating stuff for me because I get in a tizzy here when I see oil going down and gas prices going up. And it got to the point where I actually called a local gas station here. And I wanted to talk to the person who sets the pricing because they're very aggressive in their pricing, I noticed. And I didn't get anywhere with it. And the fella said, well, we don't set the price here. You know, the home office sends us an electronic message about changing it. And then I called up the home office and they said, no, we don't do it. And anyway, what happened was somebody called me from the organization. Very nice. And she said, thank you for letting us know that they are aggressively pricing it because the same actual company is within, you know, a few miles of one another. And this particular one is just aggressive. I don't know why. And I pass by it almost every day. And she said, well, you know what? We pay the rack rate. What does that mean, paying the? Because I know in hotels, when you pay the rack rate, I guess that's like the highest rate. Is that something similar?
That's the wholesale price of gasoline. The retailer pays the wholesale price and charges a retail price. I feel badly for these managers who get those phone calls at the convenience stores and gas stations because they do have very little control. And to be honest, they don't make a whole lot of profit on gasoline. They make much more profit on the other items like the beer, the soda, the cigarettes, the potato chips, and candy. There's much more profit in that stuff than there is in gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
But the gasoline has to be competitively priced because it's almost like a lost leader to try to pull you in and get you to spend money inside the store.
Right, exactly. And I did let her know that, you know, 99% of the time I do get my gas from her company. But this is really just driving me nuts. And that's what precipitated me reaching out to you. And really, you are, it's a cliche, but you are a font of knowledge with this stuff. And obviously that has to do with all the years you've been analyzing this day in and day out. I guess it's something you live with even when you're not working, I would imagine, right?
Oh, it's true. It just gets into your blood. And we try to spot anomalies. Where we see anomalies, it's usually an indication that there's something wrong in the supply chain. And then we have to dig further to find out where the problem is. And I'm sure any reporters who have to follow this on a regular basis are basically doing the same thing. It's the general assignment guys who have to shift their attention from the homicide and the fires and the business openings and all that stuff. It's hard for them to have enough time to really put their attention into something and really stick with it.
Mm-hmm. Fortunately, you're there at Gas Buddy. Like I said, I've had nothing but positive feelings about Gas Buddy, and now they're even more positive knowing that somebody of your caliber is over there at Gas Buddy. And I would suggest to any of the listeners, if they haven't yet seen Gas Buddy or found out about it, if you're interested in saving money or learning about how gas is priced, what happens with oil, how we get it, and all this new stuff that Greg explained to me that I never knew about. For example, the fact that in a few years, possibly 5 to 6 years, the United States is going to be, this is what you said, Greg, the number one oil producing country in the world.
We'll be producing more oil than Saudi Arabia.
I know you said it's not going to go down to 89 cents for regular, sadly, but where do you think it's going? Like, give me a 1 year, 5 year, 10 year, 20 year prediction.
That's awfully tough to do.
I know.
I know that we see prices generally going up, and we might be inclined to think that over the years, it's inevitable that the price of most commodities can only go higher. But I wouldn't be surprised if the price of gasoline in the United States, maybe it might be 4 or 5 years from now, actually hits a plateau and then starts to decline, because we're already in a period where fuel consumption has been on a steady decline for at least the last 10 years. And part of that has to do with federal mandates for more fuel-efficient vehicles. Part of it has to do with the rising price of gas, which has caused a number of us to look for alternative transportation, whether it's mass transit or whatever else. But population trends, demographic trends, a lot of these things contribute to the fact that as a nation, we are consuming less gasoline today than we did 5 years or 10 years or 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible. It might be a long shot, but I think it's possible that we could hit that period where prices are not steadily increasing, but instead we see a plateau, and from the plateau, they start to decline.
So it's feasible that we could actually see this break below $3 across the country in the foreseeable future.
I don't know if I could say it's foreseeable to see that as a long-term trend. Right now, there are 30 states that have gasoline stations selling at less than $3 a gallon, but we're still looking at a national average that's at $3.24. This is pretty much at the low end of the calendar year. Once we get into the new year, like we discussed earlier, I think you're going to see the prices go up. And in fact, I'm fairly certain of that prices are going to go up and we'll be closer to a national average, maybe around $3.50 or $3.60 a gallon. But I don't think it's out of reach that we would see the national average get below $3 a gallon for a longer period of time than just by the season. Might be 5 or 6 years away.
Okay.
There's one thing I should add, and you're going to say I'm raining on the parade when I bring this up, but we talked a little bit earlier about infrastructure and how much is needed to improve our highways and bridges and all of that infrastructure, and it's going to take a lot of money. Well, the federal gas tax hasn't increased in a long time, and that's one of the reasons why we have this shortage of funds for transportation infrastructure. So it's very possible that you could see prices increase at the pump if we see aggressive increases in the taxes that are needed just to take care of the highway repair.
Mm-hmm. And that's probably coming, like you said, because there's been so much coverage of the fact that our infrastructure is deteriorating because of its age.
That could be coming. And so instead of seeing the price decrease, we might just see one washes out the other. The decrease that we see in crude and in the overall gasoline price could be offset by increases in the taxes.
And of course, as you mentioned earlier, if forbid we have some kind of a currency crisis, then folks would know that if the dollar is being devalued for whatever reason or reasons, that money's going to go from there into, for example, commodities such as oil, and you could see a dramatic increase in the price again. And that can happen at any time, right?
It can happen at any time, and it's because investors look to the commodities market as a hedge against the weak dollar. So that's something we always have to be watching.
Greg Laskowski, Senior Petroleum Analyst at GasBuddy.com. Greg, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners. Fascinating stuff. You really clarified a lot of stuff for me, and I thank you for that, sir. And looking forward to talking to you in the future.
I look forward to it, Dave. Thank you.